Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Patricia Barber opens today's program with a little witchcraft on piano. Appropriate, perhaps, given the upcoming Halloween holiday this Thursday. Indeed, we'll be highlighting Halloween tunes throughout the program from a wide variety of genres. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites funtrivia.com and triviachamp.com. Question number one, who composed the beautiful but haunting instrumental Moonlight Sonata? Hint, the composer suffered from deafness and dedicated this sonata to one of his pupils in 1802. So, who was this composer? Moonlight Sonata. And question number two, according to the lyrics of a popular song by the Charlie Daniels Band, especially heard at this time of year, where was the devil going? Was it A, Georgia, B, a Halloween party, C, Hades, or D, a funeral? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of October 25th. Well, this weekend was a popular one for the births of classical composers. 1685, composer Giuseppe Scarlatti was born. 1782, composer and violinist Niccolò Paganini was born. 1825, composer Johann II Strauss was born. And 1838, composer Georges Bizet was born. And it was 51 years ago today, 1968, in London, that Led Zeppelin was billed as Led Zeppelin for the first time. Previously, they had used the name New Yardbirds. 1968, today. Well, first things first. Our music research and technology article today asks, why is scary music scary? This is published in entertainment.howstuffworks.com by Allison Cooper. Alfred Hitchcock once said that 33% of the effect of Psycho was due to the music. Who could forget those screeching violins? What is it about a scary piece of music that makes it instantly frightening? If you're not a music scholar, you probably wouldn't be able to pinpoint it in technical terms. But you definitely know scary when you hear it. The shrieking noises, unpleasant-sounding chords, sudden high notes, they all combine to make us nervous and on edge. But why? Are these inherently scary sounds that provoke an instinctual reaction? Or is this a socially conditioned response? Have we been somehow trained to think this type of music is scary? The answer is both, probably. Music theorists long ago identified the exact combinations of notes that are the most disturbing to our ears, although they never really figured out why they sound so dissonant. The tritone, two notes that are three whole steps apart, like F and B, was known as diabolus in musica, devil in music, in the Middle Ages. Certain combination of notes, like the tritone, have been carefully avoided throughout history so as not to be associated with any kind of negative emotion. There is also a scary by association factor that might not have anything to do with discordant notes or musical construction. Some musical works are still considered scary today because of their original purpose. For example, there's Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor, which some argue wasn't considered particularly scary until it was used in movies like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and Tales from the Crypt. But then an evolutionary biologist at UCLA named Daniel Bloomstein came out with two studies in 2010 and 2012 that suggest that our response to scary sound is very much biological, and that all these composers and movie soundtrack producers have been tapping into instinctual, emotional responses when they create spooky music. Bloomstein and his team of researchers noticed that the nonlinear chaotic noise made by distressed baby animals, harsh, screeching, unpredictable sounds meant to get the attention of their parents, also caused emotional distress in humans. Nonlinear sound is discordant, disturbing, and harsh to human ears. Sound familiar? The researchers discovered that nonlinear sound is an important part of scenes that are meant to stir up fear and negative feelings in movies. Think Psycho, Jaws, The Shining, The Exorcist, the music from which is playing in the background now. As far back as 1933's King Kong soundtrack, engineers had used actual animal cries and screeching to provoke horror in audiences. So the next time you're on the edge of your seat at a pivotal moment in the latest horror flick, keep your ears trained on the non-linear noises in the soundtrack. So the question is, will it make the moment any less scary if you realize your animal emotional instincts are being manipulated? Buck Owens' Monsters Holiday kicks off our country Halloween music. It's an article entitled Flashback. Buck Owens gets creepy with Monsters Holiday. This is written by Stephen L. Betts on the 31st of October, 2018, Rolling Stone magazine. On the morning of October 30th, 1973, one day before Halloween, Buck Owens and the Buckaroos, including guitarist Don Rich, entered Owens' Bakersfield studio to record the song that would serve as the title cut of his next Capitol LP. Although Owens had written and recorded lighthearted songs that had been peppered throughout the nearly 50 albums he had released up to that point, two of the last three top 10 hits he would have until the 1988 number one duet Streets of Bakersfield with Dwight Yoakam were novelty tunes, including the supremely silly It's a Monster's Holiday, a kitschy cross between the Monster Mash and George Jones' The Race Is On. It's far from Owen's finest hour, but certainly worth revisiting on this, the scariest day of the year, other than Election Day, that is. Taken from the album of the same name released in 1974, this Monster Mashup brings a Mount Rushmore of spooky ghouls back to life as they take turns attempting to scare Owens while he tries to sleep. Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, and the Hunchback all show up, followed by goblins, dragons, and zombies. but Owens vows to fight back. It all ends mercifully in just under 2 minutes and 30 seconds with a creepy spoken gotcha. But the journey to country's top 10 for the tune was perilous and ultimately tragic. On July 14, 1974, 3 weeks before the song was issued, Owens' longtime guitarist, harmony singer, and close friend, Don Rich, died in a motorcycle accident. Owens himself died peacefully in his sleep on March the 25th, 2006, at age 76. Camille Saison's Danse Macabre introduces our classical Halloween music. A brief history of the Danse Macabre. This is written by Bethany Gottschall on the 11th of November 2017, published in AtlasObscura.com. In the Danse Macabre, or Dance of Death, skeletons escort living humans to their graves in a lively waltz. Kings, knights, and commoners alike join in, conveying that regardless of status, wealth, or accomplishments in life, death comes for everyone. At a time when outbreaks of the Black Death and seemingly endless battles between France and England in the Hundred Years' War left thousands of people dead, macabre images like the Dance of Death were a way to confront the ever-present prospect of mortality. Though a few earlier examples exist in literature, the first known visual Dance of Death comes from around 1424. It was a large fresco painted in the open arcade of the charnel house in Paris's Cemetery of the Holy Innocents. Cemetery visitors on seeing the Dance of Death would certainly have been reminded of their own impending doom, but would also have likely appreciated the image for its humorous and satirical aspects as well. The grinning, dancing skeletons mock the living by poking fun at their dismay, and for those in positions of power, by making light of their high status. Enjoy it now, the skeletons implied, because it's not going to last. Though the Dance of Death isn't strictly speaking associated with Halloween, the macabre imagery resonates with the holiday's connections between life and death. Skeletons, skulls, and corpses reminiscent of those grim medieval dancers often show up in haunted houses, as yard decorations, and as costumes. Sometimes grisly, sometimes cartoonish, today's dancing skeletons are far removed from their predecessors in the Danse Macabre. But as satirized and commercialized as Halloween can be, it's still a holiday that brings a greater awareness of death and forces us to confront our own mortality, even if the frights all vanish when November the 1st rolls around. So Danse Macabre, Opus 40, is a tone poem for orchestra written in 1874 by the French composer Camille Saison. It started out in 1872 as an art song for voice and piano with a French text by the poet Henri Cazalès. Artie Shaw and his orchestra performing Nightmare introduces our jazz Halloween music. The name of the article is A Short History of Nightmare, Artie Shaw, 1936. This is published in jazziz.com by Matt McCucci on July 18, 2017. Shaw wrote Nightmare the day before his band had been scheduled to open the Hotel Lexington in New York City on August 21, 1936. With a remote wire hooked to the CBS radio network, Shaw had, in effect, been told that he would need to have a theme to play at the start and stop of the live radio broadcast. Having the right theme song was very important for bands at the time. A theme song was a band's signature. It also established the band's musical image. Furthermore, as Peter J. Levinson writes, a theme song had to be distinctive and recognizable, especially in a band's infancy, when it would be getting its nationwide exposure on radio. Although many bands would often resort to using a Tin Pan Alley tune as their theme, Shaw decided to write his own. The resulting Nightmare was described by Richard Sudhalter as a keening, almost cantorial melody in A minor, as different musically from the theme songs of his band-leading colleagues, as Shaw was different from them personally and temperamentally. Tom Nolan notes in his book, Artie Shaw, King of the Clarinet, that song Sluice came to trace its main device to a variety of sources, from King Oliver's Call of the Freaks to Igor Stravinsky's Firebird. Nightmare would soon become a hit and an influential composition in its own right. Famously, for instance, it probably inspired the vamp of the James Bond theme, written by composer John Barry.
Monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers' Monster Mash introduces our pop music, Halloween music. It's an article entitled Monster Mash, published in songfacts.com. Pickett was a nightclub entertainer. He wrote Monster Mash with his friend Lenny Capizzi in about 2 hours. They were both big horror movie fans, and Pickett would do an impression of the actor Boris Karloff, known for playing the monster in many Frankenstein movies, during the speaking part of Little Darlin' that went over well in his act. As Capizzi played the piano, he and Pickett put together this song with Karloff's impression in mind. They came up with a plot about Frankenstein's monster starting a dance craze. In this song, the monster throws a big dance party, which is enthusiastically attended by many other creatures of lore, including Dracula and Wolfman. They recorded the song with studio musicians Leon Russell, Johnny McRae, and Ricky Page, who were credited as the Crypt Kickers. This being 1962, many of the sound effects had to be created in the studio. The coffin being open was made by pulling a rusty nail out of a lump of wood with the claw of a hammer. The bubbling sounds came from blowing through a straw in a glass of water. The sound of the chains was made by dropping chains onto plywood planks on the record studio floor. This is essentially a dance song based on the mashed potato dance craze, which is where the mash in the title comes in. The original title was Monster Twist, in an attempt to jump on the twist craze, but that fan was fading, so they tried calling it Monster Mash Potato, then settled on Monster Mash. This is arguably the most successful novelty song of all time, having reached the top 100 music chart 3 times, 1962, 1970, and 1972. The song has sold over 4 million copies, continues to be a Halloween favorite.
Mash. 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 Mash.
put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
North Carolina's Nina Simone performing I Put a Spell on You introduces our local Halloween music. The title is called Nina Simone's album I Put a Spell on You, and it's an all-music review written by Richie Unterberger, one of her most pop-oriented albums, but also one of her best and most consistent. Most of the songs feature dramatic, swinging, large band orchestration with the accent on the brass and strings. The title track, I Put a Spell on You, is a jazzy string ballad version of the Screaming Jay Hawkins classic, and it gave the Beatles the inspiration for the phrasing on the bridge of Michelle. Songfacts.com adds, Screaming Jay Hawkins wrote this as a ballad lamenting the loss of a girlfriend he wanted back. The original version was a lot slower and much more tame. Hawkins later transformed the song into a spooky tale about putting a curse on the girl so he can have her. Hawkins performed the ghoulish version for the first time at a Christmas concert staged by Cleveland DJ Alan Freed in 1956. Hawkins developed a bizarre stage show around this. He would come out in a flaming coffin and wield a skull on a stick that he named Henry. The producers wanted a weird-sounding record, so they gave the musicians lots of food and liquor and created a party atmosphere at this session. The version with various grunts and groans was banned by most radio stations. An edited version became a hit with teenagers who liked the forbidden sound. Around Halloween, this becomes very popular every year. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, who composed the beautiful but haunting instrumental Moonlight Serenade? Hint, the composer suffered from deafness and dedicated this sonata to his pupil in 1802. Correct answer is Ludwig van Beethoven, as noted by T.O. Bugby in the New York Times on the 12th of September 2019, a documentary called Moonlight Sonata, Deafness in Three Movements, places the work of Ludwig van Beethoven in an intimately modern context. Like the storied composer at the end of his career, the filmmaker Irene Taylor Brodsky's 11-year-old son and her parents are deaf. In this sweet but formally unimaginative film, deafness is observed through three generations. Brodsky's child, her parents, and in brief animations, the long-gone artist. Brodsky, who narrates much of the film, introduces her son Jonas as he received cochlear implants, allowing him to clearly hear. Jonas learns to play the piano, and the film's loose narrative follows his attempts to master Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. Jonas's auditory fluency separates him from his deaf grandparents, Paul and Sally, who still derive meaning from sources other than sound. Though Jonas is the film's primary subject, Paul and Sally are its most striking characters. They have lived their lives content with their abilities, and they wonder at their grandchild, whose experience is so different. In the film's most memorable scene, Paul predicts there will be no deaf people in the future, and his manner indicates both awe and grief. This deeply personal memoir about a deaf boy, his deaf grandfather, and Ludwig van Beethoven premieres December the 11th on HBO. And the answer to our second question, according to the lyrics of a popular song by the Charlie Daniels Band, especially heard this time of year, where was the devil going? Was it A, Georgia, B, Halloween party, C, Hades, or D, a funeral? Correct answer. Answer A, Georgia. As noted in songfacts.com, in this, the devil went down to Georgia. Satan plays a visit to Georgia and challenges a boy named Johnny to a fiddle duel. If Johnny can play the fiddle better than the devil, he gets a golden fiddle but if he loses, the devil gets his soul. After a sinister performance by the devil, complete with histrionics, like fire and demon backup singers, Johnny plays as if it was possessed, nailing a performance inspired by his roots in the Deep South, and winning the golden fiddle when the devil concedes defeat. Charlie Daniels told SongFacts that the idea for this song came from a poem he had read in high school called The Mountain Whippoorwill by Stephen Vincent Benet, best known for his American Civil War narrative poem, for which he won the 1929 Pulitzer Prize. It was Daniels who played the fiddle for both the devil and Johnny, and it was also Daniels who dreamed up what they would both sound like. He explains, the devil's just blowing smoke. If you listen to that, there's just a bunch of noise. There's no melody to it. There's no nothing. It's just a bunch of noise, just confusion and stuff. This song took the Charlie Daniels Band out of a southern rock music style and into the world of pop music. The song was a number one hit on the country chart, but also crossed over to the pop chart. So let's close out this program on spooky music with Charlie Daniels' musical duel with the devil. The devil went down to Georgia.
The devil opened up his case and he said, I'll start this show. And fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.
The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best there's ever been. He played, found a mountain, run, boy, run.